Good morning, everyone. This is Sunday, May the 3rd, 2020. As we begin our service, the greeting, please. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, our Shepherd, you know your sheep by name and lead us to safety through the valleys of death. Guide us by your voice, that we may walk in certainty and security in this world and the next, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And I shall read to you the gospel acclamation. Alleluia! Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Alleluia! If you wish to stand for the reading of the gospel lesson, please do so now. The Holy Gospel is written in the 10th chapter of St. John's Gospel, beginning with the first verse and continuing through the 6th verse. Glory to you, O Lord! Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will strengthen us to be devoted to the teachings of your word, that through it we may hear your voice and follow you into eternal life. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I have found myself lately with the television on just about all day long. Well, to be honest, erase the words just about. I literally do have it on all day. I can do this because we are an equal opportunity television household. Larry watches TV in the bedroom, Cole watches back in his room, and I have taken over the family room where I can also work on my sermon. Now, when I start out a sermon one Sunday with the announcement, "And now a word from our sponsor," you will know that it's time for an intervention to wean me off of the idiot box. One good thing about all this, though, is that I occasionally see or hear something that is a good sermon illustration. For example, this week, our scriptures today are the 23rd Psalm and part of the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, both of which were the scriptures the morning I went off of the prescribed lectionary readings. We read these same two scriptures when I was doing my series of the great I Am statements, and specifically was addressing I Am the Good Shepherd and I Am the Gate of the Sheepfold. Now, You have very patiently, my friends, listened, not just once, but twice, to my Barabbas sermon. But I don't want to tempt fate and repeat a sermon you heard just only last month. So I was glad to watch a segment on the news that showed some penguins toddling along a totally empty street in a rustic seaside village. And lo and behold, the very next day I saw a picture of sheep in Britain. The article told about British sheep experiencing a new sense of freedom in some parks, farms, and yards in the UK. As parks and open spaces have been shut down and emptied out due to COVID-19, and while people are secluded in their homes, sheep have taken to roaming about in the newly opened spaces. But rather than wandering aimlessly through the fields, it seems, sheep have been seeking out children's playgrounds and have begun, wait for it, they have begun to play. It appears their favorite activity is to take turns riding the roundabout. Now, you may remember that piece of playground equipment called the roundabout from your childhood. It's like a big wheel turned on its side so that its base turns around parallel to the ground. Children sit on the wooden bottom frame while other children run around the outside, hanging on and spinning the wheel pretty much until everyone sitting and spinning is lightheaded or the runners doing the spinning are out of breath. Then they swap places, and those who are running around the outside of the circle get to sit in the middle, and those who are sitting get to do the spinning for the others. Now, my point is, the sheep were playing on the roundabout in the very same way. Some sheep would stand in the middle while others would push them around. There was no running around the circle, but turning the wheel nonetheless. And after a while, they would stop, change places, and make room for any newcomers to join in the fun. And soon, sheep were seen in various other play areas, even in other towns, playing on a roundabout. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, this certainly redefines what it means to be a sheep. They are definitely not dumb animals. This week's scriptures are all about sheep. Both the Hebrew Psalm, referring to God's people, and the Christian Gospel, referring to God's people and to the followers of Jesus, as sheep. In the past, sheep were referred to as rather unintelligent animals that wander aimlessly away if the shepherd is not there to guide them. Yet it seems, given the opportunity, sheep would rather play organized games than simply wander aimlessly through the fields and the streets. They apparently have a sense of community, a passion for assisting each other, and definitely a zeal for fun. Open up the gate, and sheep will find a new way to play. Should we be surprised? The human spirit, too, has a natural inclination for making the best of new situations and predicaments, for making fun out of fumes. All you have to do is look at the television and the internet right now to see the amazing creativity and innovation sparked by our coronavirus seclusion. We simply will not be held down. We will always find a roundabout way to do anything we desire to do. Human beings, though we can be fearful at times, are also the most adaptable creatures on the planet. When our bodies feel inhibited, when we feel we have no control over parts of our lives, something happens to our minds and hearts. We look for an open window or a deserted field, and we find a new way to play. We look for a canvas, and we find a way to paint a masterpiece. We look for a tin can or wooden sticks and a big metal spoon and a shiny cooking pot, and we begin to make music. We sing, we dance, we play, and we typically do it together. When we can't be face to face, still, we find all kinds of ways to connect with each other, and most of all, to play and, of course, to worship. Years ago, my friends, I signed up onto Facebook, and I did it primarily as a means of keeping up with my 7 grown nieces and nephews and their 11 children of the next generation. In the ensuing years, keeping up with family was my primary, if not sole, reason for staying on Facebook until this month. I found a page called Growing Up in Orlando in Pre-Disney Years, or something like that. And have I had some fun. You have to have lived in Orlando or gone to school there or had some real connection with the area. People that I hadn't thought about in years were all over the pages, but I found it great fun reading memories so many of us shared, recalling places and events that were so important to us way back when. Like a sheep, I found a new outlet for fun. Not exactly a roundabout, but fun all the same. Years ago, doing things in a roundabout manner was not necessarily a positive attribute, but today it is the mark of heightened innovation. In fact, all great inventions were brought to fruition by people who went about things in a roundabout way, who saw and thought outside the box or outside the rules, and who created new ways, roundabout ways, to play the game of life. One of the things I listened to one morning this past week was a news conference with the governor of New York and the mayor of New York City. Both of these public servants spoke of ways they had been thinking out of the box. For example, beginning soon, the subway on the city will be shut down every night between 1 and 5 a.m. The subway that they could never shut down for any reason will be shut for 4 hours every morning. The train cars and stations will be cleaned and sanitized and reopened for transit every morning. Of course, before being able to do this, they had to think even further out of the box to make plans for all of the homeless people who have been sleeping on the subway every night for apparently a long time. No solution had ever yet been found for this homeless problem. The circumstances of today's world, however, make this roundabout thinking not only possible, but necessary. Human beings will always look for an opening in the wall, a crack in the sidewalk, a door not yet opened, a field never explored, and we will dare to enter in. This is the exquisiteness of what it means to be part of the human planet. We embrace the beauty of our humanness when we embrace God and when we follow Jesus, because for us, God is that open door that leads to new and exciting paths. Jesus is that gateway to life that affords us freedom and exploration of what it means to truly live. Followers of Jesus will dare to enter into that open portal that leads to new life, into that freed up space that allows us room to become the best version of ourselves, even if that freed up space is simply the time to sit down and read a good book. In whatever ways we can, we choose to exuberantly explore the realms of humanity and the reaches of eternity. And what is it that calls us out of the safety of the sheepfold, out into that open portal that leads to new life? It is the shepherd. It is a voice. Jesus himself said that his own followers could divide the trustworthy from the untrustworthy by the sound of a voice. They are like sheep who will not follow a stranger, he said, because a stranger's voice they do not know. The sheep know the voice of their shepherd, and they follow only him, because we belong to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. We respond faithfully to the sound of his voice and his voice alone. Now, what is it about a voice that signals trust? What is there about the voice of Jesus that beckons his own to follow? The world is cluttered with voices competing for our attention. A cacophony of voices shout for our loyalty, urge us to get into step and to join the followers of this or that bumper sticker cause. Save the rainforest. Buy American. Promote family values. Fight taxes. And I even saw a sticker one time that said, boycott lettuce, of all things. The voice of Jesus may sometimes be heard above all these clamoring voices, and it may be heard in some of them. But Jesus claims that his followers will surely know his voice when we hear it, that we will be able to distinguish his clear and true call from the false tones of strangers. But what makes this so? What is there about his voice that is unmistakable to his followers? Part of it, of course, is familiarity. Even a young child in the crib, surrounded by whispering and beckoning voices, turns and brightens at the sound of the one voice most familiar, the one voice most trusted, the intimate voice of the mother. Or again, two people meet, seemingly for the first time. They are cautious, wary, as strangers are at an initial encounter. But then one speaks a word of greeting, and there's the flicker, then the flame of astonishing recognition. "Is that you?" exclaims the other, arms opening for an embrace. "Is that really you? How many years has it been? How we have changed, you and I. I didn't recognize your face, but your voice, I would know your voice anywhere." But it is more than familiarity that causes the followers of Jesus to recognize his voice. Jesus calls his sheep by name and leads them out. The voice of Jesus speaks personally and commandingly. The voice of Jesus is not spoken over a public address system, making a vague general announcement for all the world to hear. The voice of Jesus speaks to each one of us, lovingly calls each one of us by name, and summons each and every follower to come, or perhaps to go. In my reading recently as preparation for this sermon, I came across a story told by Dr. Tom Long. Pastor Long gives credit for hearing this story to the Reverend Charles Williamson of North Carolina. And the story goes like this. A church drama troupe planned a special event on the weekend right before Christmas. It was to be a dessert and drama production of Charles Dickens' classic story, A Christmas Carol. The church fellowship hall was transformed into a theater, folding chairs clustered around tables, all facing a makeshift stage filled with painted backdrops of the tenements and sooty chimneys of 19th century London. When the audience gathered and were handed their programs, some were amused to note that the part of the tight-fisted Ebenezer Scrooge was being played by the chairman of the church council, a gentleman of quite un-Scrooge-like generosity. They were impressed, though, by the skill and energy he brought to his part. He growled his way through the opening scenes, ringing out every "bah, humbug," with miserly ill will. He shivered with fright and dread self-recognition as he was encountered by the series of Christmas ghosts. The final scene called for a transformed and jubilant Scrooge to chase out the shadows of the remorseful night and to greet the light of Christmas Day by flinging open his bedroom window and bellowing festively to the startled city street below, "Merry Christmas, everyone! Merry Christmas!" Then Scrooge, wishing to bestow Christmas gifts upon the needy of London and looking for someone to help dispense his good cheer, was to act as if he had spied a street urchin passing by. "Hey, you, boy, you there," the mirthful Scrooge was to shout, pointing vigorously at this imaginary feature. "Come up here, boy. I've got something wonderful for you to do." But something beautiful and unexpected happened. When the radiant and transformed Scrooge beckoned from the window, "Come up here, boy, I've got something wonderful for you to do," a 6-year-old boy in the audience, seated with his family, spontaneously rose from his chair in response to this jubilant and generous call and walked on stage, ready to do something wonderful. The actor playing Scrooge blinked in disbelief. There was now an unscripted child from the audience standing in center stage. What to do? Now, the audience held its breath. Then the person of faith beneath the veneer of Scrooge took charge. Climbing down from his window perch, he strode across the stage and cheerily embraced the waiting boy. "Yes, indeed," he exclaimed, his voice full of blessing. "You are the one, the very one I had in mind." Then he whispered in the lad's ear and told him it was up to him to give this wonderful gift to his mother. Then this non-Scrooge-like man gently led the boy back to his family. Then the little boy threw his arms around his mother's neck and gave her a great big kiss, beaming all the while. Then Scrooge returned to the stage and resumed the play. When the curtain calls were held, it was, of course, this little boy, the one who had felt himself personally summoned from his seat, who received, along with old Ebenezer himself, the audience's loudest and warmest applause. Just so, we sheep hear and know the merciful voice of the Good Shepherd. And when we get up out of our seats in the darkened auditorium and bound up on the stage, ready to follow, the Good Shepherd himself embraces us and says to each of us, "Yes, yes indeed, you are the one, the very one I had in mind." Thanks be to God. Amen. For the blessing, if you wish to stand, you may certainly do so. May the one who brought forth Jesus from the dead raise you to new life, fill you with hope, and turn your mourning into dancing. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. And our dismissal for the day. Christ is risen, just as he said, go in peace. Share the good news, my friends. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen.